Hey, this is the random dude, Josh. Make sure to check us out on undercovercapes.com and at geekerymagazine.com. And you're listening to the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Welcome to the Flipside Focus, your home for all things indie comics, with your hosts, Dodgy, Josh, and Al Mega.
Coming to you from Capes HQ, this is another episode of Flipside Focus, episode number 27. I am Dodgy, and with me is Captain Fuzzybeard himself, the random dude, Josh. Say hello.
Hey, Dodgy, how you doing?
Jolly good. Unfortunately, again, no Almega to be seen or heard of. I think he's off again with the fairies. Who knows where he is?
I think he stole your green thong. I think that's what happened.
Damn it! The green thong of hope. I was hoping I could find it, but there's no hope for me then. But yeah, no. nevertheless, we've got another episode of all things indie. We're going to go through some news, also in focus picks, as well as the Geekery presented Kickstarter project. So let's hit it up with the news. Josh, what you got?
So the first one, we know Secret Weapons number one had been released from Valiant, and we're just now starting to get the numbers on how that one did. And from what I was looking, July's sales report looks like it actually did really, really well, made just shy of $11,000. Which for any indie comic is, those are fantastic numbers, all things considered, especially when you're going up against the big two. So to have something like this, which had a lot of hype going into it, to be pulling numbers like this early on is very exciting. I'll be very curious to see, how August numbers look. I know that we're just now getting into September. Holy shit, that's insane. We're already into September.
I know, right? Absolutely.
Woo, where is this year gone? but it'll be good to see where it's at, how it's done, now that it's really had a full 2 months in circulation. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's already gone through like its fifth reprint. And the fact that it was written by Academy Award nominated Eric Hesera, apologies for brutalizing your name, but he's a writer who's been nominated for an Oscar. He wrote the for the movie Arrival, which is that science fiction flick, which has been a lot of Oscar buzz. And to have Valiant just pick him out of the woodwork and say, hey, would you go ahead and write this new comic of ours? And him saying yes is amazing on its own. And then you have the, the buzz around it. People are buying it. People are reading it. And to be sold out so fast is amazing. And the cover on its own is enough to grab your attention.
Yeah, well, and Eric's actually written quite a bit. Just looking him up. He did A Nightmare on Elm Street, the screenplay for it back in 2010, Final Destination 5, he wrote The Thing. Mm-hmm. It's been announced he's writing the screenplay for Van Helsing.
Absolutely, wow.
Kind of a big name, if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you like getting bit by vampires.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, not the sparkling ones.
definitely not the sparkling ones.
So
I hear that you've got some TV buzz you wanna dish out.
Oh, absolutely. So this was announced back at the beginning of August, but with the craziness of the last month with us, we weren't able to report on it right out of the gate. However, mm-hmm. it it was announced that Netflix had bought the comic company Miller World. Now, for those of you who don't know or may not know some of their books, let me kind of open your eyes. Some of the books that they have, Kingsman is one, which I know they just had a movie come out. Kingsman, yes, I think the Gold Circle or whatever that, the Golden Circle, which looks like it's doing very well. And Kick-Ass is another one. So there's a good chance, a very, very good chance that we are going to get Netflix originals, both on Kingsman and Kick-Ass. And I was actually looking through the books that they have just to see what could come up. American Jesus is one that would I could see actually being a show.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why that one, but it has that potential for that. Wanted would be another one.
Wanted, yeah. Well, that was actually a movie back in the late 2000s with Angelina Jolie and James McAvoy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nemesis would be another one Nemesis I'd would enjoy. Be
phenomenal. That would be phenomenal. I love that book so much.
Yeah. And I think we've actually talked about Nemesis. If I remember right, did I review Nemesis? I think
possibly.
So. I don't know. I've been on so many shows now.
Yeah, I know, right? Count. Yeah.
But either way, yeah, there's a lot of great books, great stories. I'm really excited to see how this all plays out. So Netflix seems to do a really good job with picking, especially going in the comic book route, picking those stories, those characters to make their originals. You know, they've done really well with the Marvel shows, contrary to what I may think about the Defenders. Because that one I was just... And if you want to hear my thoughts on the Defenders, you can listen to the Sloppy Spoiler Special where we actually talk about that one.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was that was exciting. Especially because I really love Kingsman. That was just a kick-ass movie. See what I did there?
Yeah, so you did.
But now knowing that there's a chance that we could get Nemesis,
I'd be really excited. In speaking of television, we've also got The Tick, which has just come out on Amazon Prime, and Spoon. You know, for those who have watched The Tick in the early 90s or the mid-90s, shall I say, the animated series as well as the live-action TV show, I think it's great that we're getting another version of The Tick. However, I was a bit taken away by the characterization of the new Tick. I kind of like the late 90s Tick because he was more burly and he had a much louder voice. But, you know, I guess because I've only watched the first the pilot episode, so I have to watch more to actually get a better appreciation to it. But have you seen it at all, Josh, or have you seen the trailer?
I haven't. I've seen clips of it, and I love it. I really love kind of the updated approach to the Tick. A little detail about the Tick that I like. I love that his little antennas kind of have the mind of their own.
Yes, I've seen that.
You know, I am very loyal to the original cartoon. That's where I came to know about the Tick and really come to love him as a character. And the Patrick Warburton version, it was okay. It wasn't horrible. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I'm the immortal Iron Fist every 2 seconds.
Yes, but, I know what you mean.
I'm definitely excited to watch this updated rendition just to see how it plays out. So, But in association with the tick, you guys just keep the tick in the back of your mind for a moment. For those of you who follow us on Comic Crusaders, you may have noticed that we've started a trend.
I think
that's the best way to describe it. And actually, it all started because of the late Jack Kirby's birthday. That was what, a week and a half ago?
Yeah, if that.
So yeah, week and a half ago, we all had the crazy idea to draw characters from the late Jack Kirby to pay tribute to the king.
Absolutely.
And it evolved into this new endeavor to allow you guys, those of you who have supported us over the years and still continue to support us, to now have your artwork spotlighted. And by using the hashtag FanArtCC for Comic Crusaders, you have the opportunity to have your artwork spotlighted on ComicCrusaders.com. And it's been a lot of fun. It actually kind of got me drawing a lot more.
Yeah, definitely.
If you guys follow me on Twitter, you guys know that I've been putting a lot of my stuff up. And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I was super, super excited to get a like on a tweet of my artwork from none other than Joe St. Pierre.
Legendary.
That was, oh, I kind of squealed. Okay, I squealed a lot. You know, that picture of Nightcrawler that I did was, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I did really well. And then to have, you know, Joe like that really just, that was awesome. So I definitely encourage all of you guys to jump on board. And, you know, share your talents with the world. And you never know who's going to see it. There's a lot of artists, a lot of creators that we have become really good friends with. And there's a good chance that they will see your work.
Yeah, absolutely. And also with the tick creators of the show, it'll be nice that their program is actually getting the exposure. And also fans can draw the tick really well. Who knows? They might actually put it somewhere on their official website. Who knows where it will go? So I really, as Josh said, really urge you just to get your pen and papers out and just give it a go.
Or you can, you know, as Tracy from Comic Crusaders and Geekery Magazine has said, or you can be like me and cheat and use your tablet to draw. I ain't gonna judge you.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. It does make it easier, though. When you can have your layers, you can pencil it out, and then you can do your line work, and it really gives you that feeling of what it's like to draw comics. Because that's what they do.
Yeah, that's true now.
But I think... you know, for this next week, Dodgy, I think I'm going to let you make this special announcement.
Okay, so my last week in the U.S., I was in America for 2 weeks. In the last week, I believe it was 2 days before leaving, I had the honor of visiting the Valiant headquarters in New York City. It was right down the road from Madison Square Garden, so it was really awesome that I got to kill two birds with one stone because I really wanted to see MSG in real life. And it was funny because when I arrived, I was about half an hour early, but that was because I was busting to go to the bathroom. So, you know, rather than trying to walk down the street and find somewhere to drain my lizard, I actually went inside to actually ask if I could, you know, I just said, hey, you know, my name is Shane, aka Dodgy from the Comic Crusaders. I'm here to meet with the crew of Valiant HQ. And they go, oh, no worries. We'll just show you around right now. And I totally forgot about my bathroom urge until after all was finished. But, wow, I had the utmost greatest experience of anything in my life because, you know, the thing I kept asking Al was, will Dinesh be there? Will Dinesh be there? And upon my first few seconds of being there, there he was in the flesh, Dinesh, the owner of Valiant. And that just blew my mind. And, you know, and to their credit, they put everything down that they were doing and showed me around like I was like a special VIP guest.
Well, you did travel a fairly good distance to, you know, come to the States. True.
Yeah. And the first thing that Dinesh asked me was about spiders in Australia. I said, yeah, we've got a few spiders, like the size of humans, you know, that sort of thing. And you just see his knees tremble a bit. And it was fun. We had a good old conversation. He showed me around to all the crew. And half of the crew that were there worked in Valiant in the past and or worked for the Wizard magazine, which I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And they were just giving me, you know, like little stories of how things worked in the Wizard magazine or how Valiant was back in the day. You know, and it was just amazing. And lastly, they actually like showed me the full trailer to the Ninjak versus the Valiant universe, which, yeah, that was amazing as well. Everything was amazing. But the thing was with the video is you could tell that a lot of love and care was put into it because you could see that everything was the best bits, like the fight scenes with Archer and Armstrong versus Ninjak was, you know, choreographed perfectly. You could tell that was like the best take. There was nothing there that was half-assed. So nothing was half done. Everything was put into its absolute professionalism, and you know, the ambition was there. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, and you know, like I asked a question to Josh, he was like working as the editor for the videos, and I was asking him about the Jared Leto situation and replacing Jason David Frank, mm-hmm. and the answer to that was that's not happening. There is no replacement. They're going to go the DC route and have, you know, the TV universe as well as the movie universe characters.
Interesting.
Same characters, different actors, and different ammo. So, and I was quite happy with that because I was saying to them, like, you know, you got Jason David Frank so soon and you're going to replace him? And they're like, no, we're not going to replace him. He's going to continue to do the web series. But Jared Leto is going to play the cinematic universe version. The same thing with John Morrison, former WWE All-Star or Superstar. He's playing the Eternal Warrior. I'm thinking too much wrestling there with the Ultimate Warrior. But he's playing the Eternal Warrior. And again, WWE reference. Dave Bautista is going to play the Eternal Warrior in the movie. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they're not replacing them, which is really good because I believe that the foundation was already built.
Yeah.
A bit mature to just replace them so soon. So, yeah, so that I was truly happy with that. And I also got to see the Exo Manowar costume. I'm not going to spoil it because I know Valiant will kick my ass, but that was amazing. I saw the full costume. I was, like, blown away, especially when the actor who's playing him is like 6'8".
Oh, jeez.
So he's a beast of a man. And it's funny seeing him with the team shot, and he's standing about like maybe a foot behind everyone else. They all look around the same height. That was pretty funny, but that was awesome. But if you think about it, Arik, you know, he's a barbarian, a warrior. I mean, who's to say he's going to be, you know, 5'5"? You know, he's a beast of a man.
Yeah.
And it was great to see that portrayed. And, you know, and I mean, like, this is like heaven for a comic book geek like myself. Never in a million years I would have imagined ever going to anything like this. So I just urge, you know, if you're a small independent creator, I could throw a few names out there like Aftershock, you know, IDW, Image. Having these tours for media is an amazing tool to get us the exposure of what you guys do. Show us around. You don't have to you know, do anything other than what you're doing. But it was just amazing to see this. And, you know, when I asked the question to Robert was, how many of these do you do? And he said, I might do one or two a month, you know, which is okay. But I mean, if you think about the amount of media outlets that are out there and not actually, you know, making the effort to go out and ask, it's unfortunate. But I mean, I had a great time, and I'm sure they had a great time as well. We had a really good conversation, and, you know, it was just a memory that I would never, ever forget or take away and just, you know, forget. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I'll absolutely do it again. I said that if you ever come back, we'll talk about this. And I was like, okay. Patience already out there.
Well, then you should probably start saving your pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And make your way back.
Yeah, definitely.
And this time I will make sure I am in New York with you, and we'll go chill at Valiant's HQ together.
Absolutely. Oh, and just one more thing about that, and a little bit of goss is, I was asking the questions with Robert, the media guy, and I was asking him about, you know, like Bob Layton and Jim Shooter created like probably 80% of the Valiant universe. I said, have you ever thought about having them come back? Well, Bob Layton's actually been to HQ and he signed a whole bunch of books that were there. But the question was put about Jim Shooter, and they said, well, he hasn't really come and approached us, but if he's willing to work with us, we'd happily take him. So that was amazing.
Nice.
That was an amazing bit of a little bit of gossip there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, if we ever had Jim Shooter on Undercover Capes, that's one question we'd have to ask him. Would you ever go back?
Yeah. Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
Absolutely. I've covered on enough. Yeah, definitely. Thank you. And we shall now move on to In Focus. I'm going to blabber on a little bit soon, but I'll let you go first, Josh.
Okay. So my first pick is a book. It's called Aurora. This is one, kind of how I came about it. The creators actually followed us on Twitter, sent us, you know, a message saying, hey, you can read the first three chapters of the book. And I'm like, okay, I'm down. and so as I was going through it, the one thing that I loved, and this is something, if you guys have read any of my reviews, whether it's on Comic Crusaders or Geekery.com, when it comes to comics, I'm very, very picky, and very opinionated too. but this book really stood out because I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be a wall-to-wall color book. No, this was not. This was black and white. And there really is, I think, a special approach or a gift to be able to do any sort of comic book in black and white.
Yeah, that's true.
And so this book, and bear with me because my computer's being, you know, oh, so fantastic. just being a little on the slow side. So it's a fantasy adventure that follows the tale of Renzia and Anea, who are the last known Aurorians, you know, on their little adventure, if you will. This book definitely has the feel of like a manga style book. But it doesn't have that overwhelming manga feel to it, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, so, it does. I mean, the big eyes and the exclamation marks and question marks.
Yeah, well, and the way that the characters are created, it was really well done. And I think, especially when you're doing comics in black and white, it's... there's a fine line of just how much black you can use.
Yeah.
And this book does a really good job with it. You know, the line work was beautiful. The lettering, oh my God, the lettering was fantastic. Wow. And I never realized how important lettering is with comic books, really, until I started doing this. Mm-hmm. That if you don't give it that extra attention, you're going to lose the overall impact of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the action was there. Everything was in place just the way that it needs to be. And really, for the thing that's nice is the fact that you can get chapters 1, 2, and 3 off of their website for free.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. And even the chapters afterwards are not that expensive. You know, it's $1.49 per issue. You know, so super,
yeah,
super cheap. Now, keep in mind that's also for the digital or their special edition, which is volume 1, chapters 1 through 8, $15.
Wow.
For an actual physical copy.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So it's definitely a book I would encourage picking up. So that was the first pick. The second one, this is one I had actually reviewed on geekerymagazine.com. So if you guys want my full in-depth review, go check it out there. But Battle Cats, this is a book. When it comes to this type of genre, and I look at this as the fantasy genre, it with me, it really is a hit or miss. You either get me right out of the gate or you don't. There's really no other way to describe it. And Battle Cats did just that. So this book, and give me just a moment. So this was done by Mad Cave Studios. And the story goes, is you have this society of felines. And the best way I like to look at it is this is Thundercats on steroids. We all know how much I love Thundercats.
Oh yeah.
But you have this world of Valdaria that has been created, and the king, Aramad, is, you know, kind of the god chosen king of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And the first issue, like any sort of new series, you got to set the origin, you got to set the foundation for the story. And it's done beautifully and told in such a way that it's like you're sitting in a campfire, you're getting a history lesson.
Yep.
And they don't drag it out, which I appreciated very much. But the Battle Cats, moving to kind of the present time within the story, is a group of warriors. It is Valdaria's top warriors who have been sent to protect the kingdom and to do the king's bidding, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a team-up type of book, this is done really well because you get that, you get a fair taste of everyone's strengths, everyone's weaknesses, and how they contribute to the team to not only survive, but to complete their mission. I think with a lot of team-up books, you're going to have an overwhelming focus on, say, one or two characters and kind of push the others to the side. We see a lot of this in, say, like the Avengers or even the Justice League. We see this quite a bit. But Battle Cats was the complete opposite and really focused on the team as a whole. Mm-hmm. At no point in reading issues 1 through 4 did I ever feel like the focus is going to be more on one person or another.
Yeah.
You know, it was created by Mark London, the illustrator Art King. You know, just the way this book was put together, it is a beautiful book. It really is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had a chance to read through it, Dodgy.
No, I have. I read it all a few months back, and one of the things that really captured me was the fact that you had the like, you know, you mentioned the origin story. It showed three different kings in one book, which I found quite interesting. You had one that was the, you know, the godlike king. Then you had the son who was a bit evil, and then you had the other, you know, the newer son, who was sort of like a mix of both. And I just found that to be quite an interesting take, because you almost don't see the Battle Cats themselves until I believe it was the first issue.
It was actually issue two.
Issue two, yeah.
Yeah, because the first issue is just solely on the history of Valdaria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was amazing. I haven't actually seen anything like that since, what's the name of the book? Starbrand. No, it's just us. Oh, forgive me. It was the one by Jim Starlin.
That one book that tells that one story with that one character. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, God, forgive me. But anyways, if you get the gist of it, you know, it's about the world that the people live in, other than just the character. So we see the character, but we learn more about the world as in the beginning of it. Yeah. And that story will come to my head.
Well, and the nice thing that I'm seeing that a lot of comic creators are doing by taking the time to show the history of the world, say in issue one, telling it like a story, that helps you better understand the decisions and how people are leading up to the present time within the world.
Absolutely.
So you get to understand a lot of the conflict that could be taking place or is taking place. And Battle Cats is that same way. So I mm-hmm. definitely encourage anyone to check out this book because it is just that damn good.
Yeah. Okay, Dreadstar. I'm really sorry. The book was named Dreadstar. It just come to me. Look, I'll go through my picks now. And, you know, I was in Boston Comic Con, and it was great because I got to see, you know, legends at work as well as a lot of indie creators. I got to talk and meet with a few indie creators, buy some of their books. And it was just nice to actually get their take, because when you're from Australia, you know, all the creators you see are the same creators every year. So there really isn't any of that new interjection of new creators or new people to meet. And that was just a nice thing to see when you come across these creators who are very passionate, just as passionate as they are back in Australia, but they bring along different books for us to have a look at. So I'll go through my picks. The first one is Vortex Man number 0. It's by Ian Aiken, art by Brian Garvey, created by Isaac H. Schwecki, published by Sultana Comics. You know, at their table at Comic-Con, they had a 6-foot statue or mannequin in the costume, which I found to be really awesome. And, you know, I was with Alex and Bud Young from a No Prize podcast. We had a good old chat with them, and, you know, and I picked up the book. And basically the book is labeled as Captain Planet on steroids. Ooh, sorry to take a look,
Josh. And, I like Captain Planet.
Yeah, that's a big call, I know. So it's about Captain Michael Olshan and two fellow Navy SEALs. They're set out to deliver a package. They're through a very heavily polluted waters of Midway Island. And as a result of, you know, an explosion happens and all three characters are submerged to the water, and it has that Fantastic Four style of approach that everyone develops different powers. And two of the other Navy SEALs, they become, you know, a little bit angry, frustrated that they were treated like guinea pigs, and they set out to become supervillains. And then you know, Michael O'Shane becomes Vortex Man. So he's set out to defeat the supervillains. But I do have issues 1 and 2 as well, which I have not yet read. But I guess with the along the story is that he teamed up with other like-minded characters, you know, set out to prevent the world of pollution and bad doings on Earth, and, you know, treating the Earth with respect and keeping it clean. And the proceeds actually go towards, charities, so charitable organizations to actually, keep the world safer and make it cleaner. My second pick is called Silent Night. It's written by George O'Connor with art by Dafu Yu, proudly published by Homeless Comics. All comics need a home. That's their motto. So this is very odd, and that's why Bud and I, we just quickly bought these books, because when he's not making a list and not checking it twice, what does Santa Claus do for the rest of the year? I should have made that rhyme, but I didn't. But this is a story about Santa Claus in his off time, or during the off season. And as I said, that's the reason why we picked it up. And the reason this was interesting is because he's actually a private investigator, and he gets mixed with the mob. You know, in the book, it's November 22nd, and we saw him minus the rosy cheeks and the jolly old laugh. And he does fight a significant amount of evil ho-ho-hos as he beats down the sex trafficking syndicate. So he goes around beating up prostitutes, which I found to be quite interesting. But these were evil prostitutes, by the way, so hopefully you don't take the wrong idea that he's going to beat up.
Evil, yeah, prostitutes.
Exactly.
That's a bad hooker right there.
Exactly. Yeah, and it was interesting because, you know, it's, you know, like, that's why Bud and I, we grabbed it, because they're like, what? Santa Claus during the off season, and the book's called Silent Nights, and, you know, he's got the K as in night, which is pretty cool. And my last pick was Tuskegee Airs by Marcus Williams and Greg Burnham. Sorry. So I've been a fan of Marcus Williams' art for quite some time. I've followed him on Facebook for a while, especially his art of Sonic the Human pinups. So Sonic the Human is like the reincarnation of Sonic the Hedgehog, but made them human, you know, giving the kids, you know, the Sonic hairdo and all. I found that to be quite awesome. And this book in particular was set in the year 2096. The story is about young flight cadets who fly World War II P-51 Mustangs. But the significance of this book is, Marcus Williams is African-American and all his characters are off that demographic, which is nice to see a lot of diversity in a comic book, because, you know, I'm a bit tired of, you know, everyone being white, and it's just nice to see a bit of mix, you know, a bit of demographic mix into the book, which was pretty awesome. And the kids actually move from P-51 Mustangs to futuristic spaceships, and that's where things get a lot real. And these kids are the heirs to the Muskegee Airmen, who formed the 332 fighter group in the U.S. Air Force during World War II. And hence you see the kids wearing the 332 and their T-shirts and chains and everything else. The dialogue in this is very sharp and witty. It's I really appreciated one of the characters named Abel and his father's conversation about teaching him how to be a real man. I like that father and son interaction. Don't see a whole lot of it in comic books. You do see it in cartoons, which kind of opened my eyes a little bit to this. But Marcus Williams' art is friggin' phenomenal. I think he should be, you know, I think he'd be a steal in any of the big two, or even a bigger independent company like IDW. He'd be perfect in, just trying to think off the top of my head, but, you know, Transformers or anything like that. His art is very sharp. It's friggin' awesome.
You know what it'd be good for? Or a great place for his artwork. Alternas, the new run that they're doing with the newspaper style.
Yes, absolutely.
The newspaper style books.
Yes. Because people will buy them, and I mean, that art is friggin', you can see it, Josh, it's beautiful.
Oh yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Hashtag absolutely. Gorgeous.
Hashtag gorgeous. But definitely, I think that was the bigger of the three. I think the art in that is, you know, on another level, and I think he's should definitely be picked up by Big Two or any other publisher and actually get his name out there. He's a phenomenal artist. But yeah, so I've just spilled my beans about what I saw at Boston Comic Con. I think, Josh, you think going to make an announcement for Geekery Magazine's Kickstarter.
Exactly. So this segment brought to you by Geekery Magazine, your home for all fandoms. Really, at this point, it's evolved to more than just indie comics. You know, Kickstarter, for those of you who have never been to Kickstarter.com, this is a great place to discover new books. Books that you don't know that you need until you actually see it. There have been a lot of books that we've reviewed on this that have both been fully funded. I'm very proud to say that have probably benefited from us highlighting books on this segment. So we take a lot of time in picking these books. We don't just willy-nilly say, oh, you know, I can't find anything, I'll just pick this one. No,
yeah.
We actually take the time for this. I know, you know, a lot of our good friends that we've become friends with, at least in the time that I've been around, have all had successful social media campaigns. You know, Gary Gunn with the derogatory tales of Franklin and Ghost. That was a successful project. Bobby Torres with Rapid Eye, both issues 1 and 2 were both successful social media Kickstarter campaigns. So my pick, with all that being said, is Sunmaker #1, A Frozen Apocalyptic Fantasy. This book, just to kind of give you a brief synopsis, you know, a great cataclysm has left the world concealed in snow and ice. And the Sunmakers, you know, sealed themselves away from the Doom World. Now their numbers have dwindled, and they are now the last of the Sunmakers and must return to this world to preserve their people. This, just the style of this book, a lot of really, really rich colors, you know, deep blacks, actually really good use of black is seen in this. I like the style of this. It has that, I guess the only way to really describe it is that Cartoon Network-esque feel. That it has that potential to be a cartoon.
Nice. Yeah, I can definitely see what you mean by that.
Yeah, it's one of those books, like, and this is kind of my approach whenever I go into Kickstarter. First thing, and for those of you who are looking at putting books up on Kickstarter, take this as personal advice on how I find books, so that way you can get your books noticed. I am looking for images as I'm scrolling through all the books. I'm looking for images that really kind of catch my eye right out of the gate. You know, so not putting all of the best work out of the book out there, but you got to put something. You have to put something that's really going to catch the eye of your potential readers. And that's what this book does. And it's one that's so far, with 27 days to go, they've got a goal of $3,200. They're just shy of $2,000. So this stage of of the campaign that's doing really well is created by Ryan Kroboth.
Okay.
I would definitely see this being on track to be fully funded with the look of how it is. I'm very confident that it will be fully funded. And even the video that they created to market this was really well done. Again, all those little things put together is going to help push your book even further in getting your project be fully funded. So I would definitely check out Sunmaker number one on Kickstarter and go back to the project, taking a look at the rewards. They're actually a really, really, they were really smart in putting the rewards together in such a way that you're going to get a good bunch of loot, if you will. Just a dollar or more will get you the standard 28-page PDF. But you start kind of jumping up, 13 and more, you get a physical print of number one, and then the digital deluxe PDF. And it just gets better from there. So I definitely encourage everybody, go check this out, and definitely, if you pledge $300 or more, you get editing on your own 22-page script.
That's nice.
And an original inked comic page, numbered metal prints, they're going all out for this.
Yeah, and I like, too, that in the $99, quota, there's 7 left out of 15. That means people are actually buying them. So people are actually paying $99.
Well, even the 34, there's 44 left of 50. So there's a lot of room there. But that's going to get you the numbered metal print.
Yeah, definitely.
The print copy with a quick sketch and signed. So reward-wise, you're going to get a lot. And that's kind of the fun thing with backing any Kickstarter project. These creators create these rewards because it's their way of thanking you for backing their project. I saw that with Bobby Torres. I've seen that with Garrett Gunn, with Franklin and Ghost, which if you guys haven't had a chance to read that one, do yourself a favor and pick up that book because it is amazing. And yes, Garrett Gunn is a great and close friend of UCPN, Comic Crusaders, and obviously the original founder of Geekery Magazine. But I definitely, definitely, definitely encourage you to
check it out.
Now, I do need to update one thing. I said that it was created by Ryan Kroboth. I was actually incorrect in that. So the writer is Liam Hayes. The illustrator and colorist is Ryan Kroboth. Colorist is Dave Lentz. My apologies for not giving totally correct information, but I wanted to make sure that it was correct.
Of course, and we respect that.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm excited to hear about your pick.
Okay, so you've got a frozen apocalyptic fantasy. Mine is actually a post-apocalyptic mouse tale, and it's called Scurry, the Drowned Forest. It's about two mice who are, in a post-apocalyptic world, and they escape perils of, evil wolves, even evil mice, who've been, within the elements have become a bit crazy, and also snapping turtles. I watched the video trailer for it and I got goosebumps. It's like something out of a horror movie. It almost looks like the original art sketches for The Dark Crystal. I don't know if you've ever seen The Dark Crystal, Josh.
I haven't.
You haven't? Wow. It's very dark, very bleak, and You know, and one of the FAQs in that in the Kickstarter program was, is this book suitable for children? The answer is not really. Parental supervision required, because it's that dark. And the art in it is it's tremendous. It's definitely a 10 out of 10 for the art. I've not seen anything quite like it. I was a bit skeptical, thinking this might be just cover art, but it looks like art throughout the book. Yeah, the mice look real, and the background art, the fogginess that makes it that a lot that scarier, it's all there, and it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous art. And you know, it is the second book of this Scurry franchise. So book number one was released, I don't know the actual date, but I believe it was about a year or so ago. But this book in particular, 37 days to go, 1,304 backers. It has pledged $72,000, $72,067 out of a target of $16,000.
Yeah, it's already 450% funded.
Yeah, that's insane.
Oh, I know. It's crazy to see projects like this that really do so well. The other thing, you know, whenever a project, any Kickstarter project is backed, if it exceeds the goal, and in this particular case, obviously, it has, then the creators are going to be inclined to create more rewards. Yeah. Again, as an extra thank you for actually jumping on board and doing that. The crazy thing with Scurry that I'm looking at, so they had one spot for $1,000 or more, you know, to pledge that much, you know, one open spot, and someone did. Someone actually backed it for over $1,000. So I, and even the 450 or more, all those were gone. There's eight left of the 200 and up. There's a lot of incentive, and I definitely agree. The artwork in this is balls to the wall, amazing.
I know, right? I'm just looking at the original, the first story that came out. The target for that was 8,000 was their goal. They achieved over $101,000 out of a target of only 8,000. So I believe the reputation may be behind the first book and the success of it. And I think it does actually reflect what you said, Josh. You said that the art, you know, for the actual promo picture for the Kickstarter program has to be a knockout. You can't have, you know,
like, half-ass it.
No, you can't half-ass it. Absolutely not, because that's doing you an injustice. You're saying, look, read my book, but you need to put something out there to make people want to read it. Because if you're not known, no one knows who you are. Chances are no one's going to look at your book. So as Josh said, make it the most spectacular page from the book, but I don't want you to put only the good pages on the program, because otherwise then you're going to read exactly what you've seen on Kickstarter. So we don't want that.
Yeah, kind of like a movie trailer, and I'll use actually the Lego Batman movie for this. What they had done with that movie was they put all the best scenes in the trailer. And so I was all excited for the movie, and when I got there, I ended up falling asleep.
Yeah, because you've already seen the best.
I am the biggest Batman fanatic. I would say I'm a bigger Batman fanatic than 13, than the 13th Crusader. I'm probably going to get some crap for that, and I don't care. Because at the end of the day, 13th Crusader is going down in our fantasy football league, and I don't give a damn.
nice little bit of banter there.
So for those of you who don't know, and make sure to really follow us on Twitter, we started our fantasy football league because football season, American football is back, and of course, with football season, what do you get? You get trash talking, and I have been on a roll with talking trash to everyone. Al has been probably the biggest recipient of most of my trash talking, but I also know he can take it and dish it just as much. Bud from No Prize Podcast, you know, he gets a lot, but he's a Patriots fan, so I
exactly, you know,
I feel bad for his. I'm glad his decision in comics does not reflect his decision in football teams. So make sure to pay attention, you know, just kind of watch us on social media. Watch for the trash talking that'll be going down, even if it's just for me. I don't really care. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I like hearing, you know, the 13th Crusader being on the receiving end of the jokes. He's a sport, but I just can't wait to hear him listen to it and see what he has to say.
Oh yeah, it'll be fun. So if you guys want to hear, and I'm calling 13 out right now. This season's going to be fun, but at the end of the day, your fantasy football season is going to deflate about like the Patriots will. You know, yeah. I feel bad for Johnny. Also on TDC, because he likes the Dolphins.
Yeah, poor Dolphins.
I want the Dolphins to do better than the Giants. But that's just me.
Yeah.
So what I want you guys to do, those of you who listen to this, to get everybody excited for this, tweet out some fun gifts, you know, about making fun of football, all of that. And I want you to use the hashtag 13th Crusader Goes Down. Hashtag 13th Crusader Goes Down. I want that to be a trending hashtag within this world.
Oh, boy. I don't know how it came to this, but definitely check us out on Twitter and find out what happened, what the aftermath will be.
Oh, absolutely. And while you're there, you know, again, as we had mentioned earlier, also take part in the fan art. The one thing that we forgot to mention, you know, because the tick has come out and because it's all exciting, for the next week, let's see your artwork of the tick.
Yes.
And make sure to tag Comic Crusaders in the post and also tag or use the hashtag FanArtCC.
CC.
So that'll be a lot of fun. I know all of us on Comic Crusaders and Geekery Magazine and Undercover Capes, we're watching and seeing. And there's been a lot of great artwork done.
Definitely.
So. Like I said, you guys have a chance to be spotlighted on our, not only our websites, but our social media. So.
Absolutely. And just to go back to Kickstarter, just remember to, you know, to support these creators, because they'd be nothing without your support. So if you're interested or want to find something different to read, you might have a few dollars spare, but you don't want to go to the local comic book store. If you don't want to read something that you've already know a bit about, you want to read something that's completely fresh and original, Kickstarter is the best place to go. Spend a few dollars here or there, and you get yourself a nice collection of digital comic books that you can read at your own pleasure.
Well, and not only that, but if you like to also have the actual book in your hand, pledge a little bit more, because at the end of the day, you are guaranteeing yourself assuming the project gets fully funded and all of that. Well, even if it doesn't, a lot of the creators really go above and beyond to make sure that, you're still taken care of. So.
Definitely. Well, this has been a really fruitful episode of Flipside Focus. Yeah, so definitely we'd love to hear your feedback. Comment on us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever it is you'd like to contact us. Find us, just search up Flipside Focus or undercovercapes.com. Just, you know, just go through our library of podcasts. We've got Definitive Crusade, which is the DC podcast. We've also got the Marvel podcast, No Prize podcast. Sloppy Spoilers, nice to see a few more episodes in the mix from that show.
And actually, Sloppy Spoilers is going to be coming back. We're in process of actually revamping the show.
Nice. That's awesome. Oh, well, you know, it's time to come to an end, and thank you for listening. And again, just reach out to us if you have any feedback. Love to hear from you. But for now, bye-bye.
This has been a production of Undercover Capes. Make sure to check us out on undercovercapes.com as well as on Facebook and Twitter.